From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This year marks the 20th anniversary of the Alex McKnight Mystery Series. And author Steve Hamilton is still turning out new books. His most recent, 11th in the series, is Dead Man Running. And we turn now to mystery writer Steve Hamilton, who is back in his home state to launch his new book. Welcome back to Michigan.
It's great to be here.
So you were born in Detroit. And where did you then grow up?
Born in Detroit, grew up in Dearborn for a little bit. And then we moved out to the White Lake area up in Oakland County.
And then you went to the University of Michigan?
Went to the University of Michigan, go blue, yes.
What was your degree in?
In computer science, of course.
Oh, interesting. Not language, not writing?
I wasn't an MFA. I wasn't an English major. This is back in the early 80s. The economy was pretty tough. And I was going to go get a good job. But I always knew, even then, that I was going to be a writer someday.
Well, I stop and I think that here this is the 20th birthday for the Alex McKnight series. This Dead Man Running is the 11th title. You have seen yourself on the New York Times bestseller list. You've won or been nominated for all kinds of awards, including you won both the Private Eye Writers of America Seamus Award and the Mystery Writers of America Edgar Award for your first book. That is great. That has to be pretty satisfying to someone who submitted a mystery story to the Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine when you were how old?
I think I was 12 years old, yeah, and I submitted a story to Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine because that was just like a dream of mine. And the nice part of that is that years later, they actually asked me to write a story for them. So
circle complete.
And I did, and it really was sort of like a Valentine to that 12-year-old me who wanted to be a writer.
Well, where did that come from? Most 12-year-olds are probably not thinking in that direction.
There's something about mysteries as a reading experience that just always appealed to me. There's something very elemental about it.
What did you read as a really little kid? When did you start reading?
As long as I can remember. But
I remember the Hardy Boys.
Oh, sure, yeah. I actually did read like all of the Hardy Boys. And then I read Agatha Christie, I think, was really the one that came after that.
All right.
Her books. I just read every single one I could find.
And your little heart as a little kid said, I'm going to do
that
someday.
Exactly. So I got to be what I wanted to be when I grew up. And not many people get to say that.
How do you define a good mystery? What does it have to have in your view?
It just has to keep you... I mean, this is Ian Fleming's definition of a thriller. It's a book that makes you keep turning the pages. It's a pretty simple definition, but that's really it. For this book, they'll tell me that they read it in one night and they had to stay up all night to read it. And my first answer is, well, thanks a lot. It took me like almost a year to write it, but I did that. But my second answer to that is that's the nicest thing that you can ever say, because that's like the ultimate compliment for a writer is that you created this experience and this world that somebody just had to stay in until it was done.
I will tell you that I didn't know that I was in the majority like that.
Well,
I started it on Friday night and I finished it at 1:30 Saturday morning.
Thank you very much.
Well, now, taking that 12-year-old who submitted a story, then the guy that took computer classes at U of M, how'd you wind up getting into that writer's niche? How many false starts and failed attempts were there?
I had plenty of false starts, and, you know, every writer does. You just have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it every day against all odds, against all common sense. There's a million reasons not to write. It's just what I wanted to do, and I just kept doing it. And it was, even after I left college and went to work, it was a good another 8 or 10 years before I really got back to it and really, really remembered this is what I wanted to do. And it was a writer's group that got me sort of back into that discipline, because having those people with that external deadline just sort of waiting for you every Thursday night in the basement of that library, that's really what it took to get me back.
I have heard that from other writers.
Yeah, definitely.
That being surrounded by people who are like-minded and having that deadline
exactly
makes you jump to it. And even as Alex McKnight stories were coming out, you still had the day job.
I did, yeah. I mean, I worked for IBM for a long time, and actually it was a good thing because, it sort of gave me that stability and that rock that I could build off of. And even when, you know, and I did 12 books while I was still working there. And in the middle of that, there was a book called The Lock Artist, which was a real departure and a real trip. And it was just like this journey to find that book. And I couldn't have taken that journey if I didn't have that other part of my life that I could sort of rely on for a while. And because that's the book that really kind of changed my life.
And that's something people can, who harbor dreams of writing, that's, I'm hoping they'll learn from the kinds of things that you've been able to do. I'm talking with Steve Hamilton, New York Times bestselling author, as we talk about his career as an award-winning mystery writer with the new Alex McKnight novel, Dead Man Running, that is now out. 20 years of Alex, who was a Detroit cop but turned his back on that life and lives in Paradise, a tiny town in the UP on the shores of Lake Superior. And Michiganders know you didn't dream it up.
That's a real town.
It's a real town.
Have to drive a long way to get to a blinking light up there. But I remember when we'd go up there when I was a kid. You know, everybody goes up north if you grew up in Michigan, and that might be Petoskey or Charlevoix for some people, and we go to the UP sometimes. And I remember seeing this town. It's like who lives here? And yet it was also sort of the most beautiful place, sort of the most beautiful lonely place up there, right on the lake. Whitefish Point is just north of there. That's where the Edmund Fitzgerald went down, right off the shore there. So there's a real kind of almost like a sad, forlorn atmosphere up there, but it was just something about it. It was just a very compelling place for me.
And it's given you really a chance to use it as a very skilled tool as a storyteller.
Well, setting is a big part of a story, and it makes sense for Alex in the state of mind that he was in when he left the force after seeing his partner die on the floor, you know, and not being able to stop that. He just had to go someplace that was like that. And it just felt like home to him.
Yeah, but trouble, as we learn, trouble finds him.
Trouble finds you no matter where you go, exactly.
You know, this process of sat down thinking I'd be reading the book through the weekend and the next thing it's 1:30 Saturday morning and it took me through. It's like the tapestry that you weave of if this, then that, cause and effect threads that you are able to weave through the story, and it pulls you as a reader through, so you keep turning pages. How do you do that? Do you have kind of a roadmap in your mind, or do you sit down and let the thing tell you where it's going?
I've sort of done it both ways. In the first few books I wrote, especially with Alex, I would just sort of start with an idea. It's like, what would be a really interesting problem for him to get into? What's like the worst thing that could happen to him right here, which is not fun for him, but
you're the writer, so you get to do that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when I gave the commencement address at Lake State 1 year. And after that, I drove west because I hadn't been out there for a long time. And I found this place called Misery Bay. And it's just a sign, Misery Bay, 8 miles, you know. And it's like, what is this? There's got to be a great story behind a place called Misery Bay. And I drove down there and I said, okay, thank you for the next title of the next book, first of all. And then I started asking people. And everybody had a different answer for why it was called that. But as I was, you know, there at the end of that road in this place called Misery Bay, it's like, what's the worst thing that could happen right here? And then how could Alex sort of get tied up into it? And so that's really how I used to start a book. Then when I took a break a couple of years ago and wrote the Nick Mason series, mm-hmm. those are sort of tighter kind of thriller kind of books that really have to come together in a little different way. So I sort of learned how to really see the whole book for the first time. You know, it took me, so that's like 12 books it took me just to learn how to outline a book, mm-hmm. which is kind of strange. But so now that I can do that, this is really the first Alex McKnight book where I did sort of kind of see, I could see this twist being towards the end, and that's what's going to sort of drive everything.
And all those movable parts have to fit together.
It all has to fit together, exactly. It's just
right
a big
time.
Puzzle, right.
Yes. Where do you start, Steve, when you're constructing a villain? I was thinking about that as I was reading Dead Man Running. This villain has to be believable because this is not General Zod in the Man of
right,
Steel
exactly.
film ranting and raving. Michael Shannon did a great job in the film. But it has to be believable. How do you approach your
villain? It has to be, you have to start with the real person. And that person's motivations have to make sense. He has to have a logical world that he lives in. And everything has to be for a reason that you can relate to, even if the effect of that is all turned inside out and totally wrong. So you just take and in this case, Livermore is the really bad character in this book. It's probably the worst guy that I've ever had to be in the head of. And part of this book is really sort of told from his point of view too, which is an extra challenge, is that because sometimes you could see a bad guy as sort of a black box and just sort of watch what he does.
Yes.
But when you're in his head, you have to really sort of put together this person and understand what made him become this way. And it was something I wouldn't want to do a lot. Because it really does get to you. This guy really is a bad guy.
He is a bad guy. We're not giving any details away because you have to find it for yourself as you're reading. I saw this as I was reading Dead Man Running, thinking this is something I would watch. This is a story I watch. I was actually casting people in my head.
Right.
What about film, TV, getting your work into another medium?
We did sign a film deal for the Alex McKnight series. But.
But.
And there's a big but.
What's that?
In the contract, it says that if this film's going to get made, it has to get made in Michigan. So it has to be in Detroit, in Sault Ste. Marie, in Paradise, Michigan. That's where it has to be shot. Now, just a few years ago, this was a real mecca for film and TV. Our current governor sort of took some of those incentives away.
All of them, basically.
All of them, okay, all of them, thank you.
He ran on that promise.
He kind of did. I go way back with our governor. We went to school together, and we lived in the same dorm together. So I've known him for a long time, and we obviously don't agree on this, because there was value to having Detroit be the place to make a movie, aside from just... if there was financial benefits, which maybe came about, which maybe weren't all that they were promised or not, but it just having Detroit be back. There was this intangible thing about Detroit and Michigan. It's like, that's where you go to make a movie. And when he turned that switch off, and I've been to Hollywood and I've talked to people, they said it was night and day. We're not going to ever go back to Michigan. So I'm just trying to maybe turn that around a little bit, because this will be a big film. And it'll get made right here in Michigan.
So this is the deal, but there's a lot of stirring of the pot to make this all happen, isn't there?
We'll see. We're going to find out. But, you know, if somebody really wants to make this movie, and I think we'll get there, it'll just be the absolute blast of a lifetime to come back here and watch some film in Detroit again and go up north and see what up north really is like. Because they've done up north Michigan a couple times in movies, and they don't get it right.
You want it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve is going all around Michigan, launching Dead Man Running. In fact, you always launch your books back in your home
state. I
always
come back. This is book number, 14?
Yeah.
And this is where I come from. And this is where, especially with Alex, this is where he comes from.
Yes,
so that first book, it's been 20 years. It's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
I started here with that first book and every book since.
Well, there is a long list. He is all over the state, busy, busy. Lots of locations now through August 26th. And you can find them all because we have a link to Steve's website that we have at the stateside page at michiganradio.org. Steve Hamilton, author of Dead Man Running, thanks so much.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.